bounced off every trace of it.
Well, so you have. You look remarkably robust.
How then do you know about it?
My dear fellow, you know my methods.
You've deduced it, then?
Certainly.
And from what?
From your slippers.
My slippers? How on earth...
Then you... You could not have had them for more than a few weeks. The soles are slightly scorched. For a moment I thought that they might have got wet and been burned in the drying. But near the instep there's a small wafer of paper with a shopman's hieroglyphics upon it. Damp would, of course, have removed this. It follows, therefore, that you've been sitting with your feet outstretched to the fire, which a man would hardly do, even in so wet a June as this, if he were in his full health.
Simplicity itself.
I'm afraid that I rather give myself away when I explain. Results without explanations are much more impressive. Now, finish your note to your neighbour and we'll be off to Birmingham.
Certainly.
What's the case?
You shall hear it all in the train. My client is outside in a four-wheeler. We have time to spare, but not much.
All right, cabby. Houston station.
Right, up.
In you get, Watson.
Here you are.
Now, let me introduce you. This Watson is my client, Mr. Hall Pycroft. Mr. Pycroft, my friend and colleague, Dr. Watson.
Pleased to meet you, sir.
How do you do?
Mr. Pycroft has a tale to tell.
Indeed I have, sir.
It is too good a tale to be interrupted, so I suggest that you do not tell it until we're on board the train.
Mr. Pycroft was a well-built, fresh-complexioned young fellow with a frank, honest face and a slight, crisp, yellow moustache. He wore a very shiny top hat and a neat suit of sober black, which made him look what he was, a smart young city man, of the class who have been labelled Cockneys, but who give us our crack volunteer regiments, and who turn out more fine athletes and sportsmen than any body of men in these islands. His round, ruddy face was naturally full of cheeriness, but the corners of his mouth were pulled down and gave evidence of distress. He was clearly nervous and worried.
Now, we have a clear run here of 17 minutes. I want you, Mr. Hall Pycroft, to tell my friend your very interesting experience exactly as you've told it to me, or with more detail, if possible. It'll be of use to me to hear the succession of events again.
Very good, sir.
This is a case, Watson, which may prove to have something in it, or may prove to have nothing, but which at least presents those unusual and outre features which are as dear to you as they are to me. Now, Mr. Pycroft, I shall not interrupt you again.
The worst of my story is that I show myself up as such a confounded fool. Of course, it may all work out all right, and I don't see that I could have done otherwise. But if I have lost my crib and get nothing in exchange, I shall feel what a soft Johnny I have been.
Your crib?
My job. I'm a city clerk, and I used to have a billet at Coxon and Woodhouse of Draper's Gardens. But early in the spring, they came a nasty cropper through the Venezuelan loan. You've doubtless heard of that business. It was a huge crash.
Indeed, yes. One of my patients was badly stung.
Well, sir, it more or less wiped out the firm, and all we clerks were turned adrift. 27 of us. I've been with them for 5 years, and old Coxon gave me a ripping good testimonial when the end came. I tried here and tried there, but there were lots of other chaps on the same lay as myself, so it was a perfect frost for some time.
How much were you paid at Coxon's?
£3 a week. I had saved about 70 of them, but I soon worked my way through that and out at the other end. I was fairly floored at the last. Could hardly find the stamps to answer advertisements or envelopes to stick them to. My boots were worn out padding up and down office stairs, and I seemed just as far from getting a billet as ever.
But you did not give up. You persevered.
I did, yes. I saw there was a vacancy at Mawson & Williams, the great stockbroking firm in Lombard Street. I dare say EC is not much in your line, but I can tell you, this is about the richest house in London.
Indeed, I know it well. I've been of assistance to one of the directors in the past, in a private capacity.
The advertisement was to be answered by letter only. I sent in my testimonial and application, but without the least hope of getting it. Back came an answer by return, saying that if I would appear next Monday, I might take over my new duties at once, provided that my appearance was satisfactory.
Well done, Mr. Pycroft. Congratulations. A clear case of persistence rewarded.
No one knows how these things are worked out, Doctor. Some people say the manager just plunges his hand into the heap and takes the first that comes. Anyway, it was my innings that time, and I don't ever wish to feel better pleased. The screw was a pound a week rise, and the duty's just about the same as at Coxon.
And there was to be no preliminary interview. The job was offered sight unseen.
That is correct. It is not unusual in my line of business.
So far, so good. But now...